Greetings to each one. Good to be here with you again. Seems like when I get asked to share is when we get here. Maybe a few times in between, but somebody told me it's been a number of years. And I say, oh, really? So it's good to be with you again. Appreciated the service thus far. Thinking about that great God we were just singing about, being in his holy place and waiting on him. That's the posture that we need to be in. We heard about the big God. We heard about waiting on him. And I guess that's where we're at right now, waiting for him, what more he has for us. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We look to you, your God. You have given us your word. You have given us direction for our lives. I just pray that your blessing would be upon us as we seek your face this morning as to how we should order our lives. Pray that you would bring those things to mind that you would have me to share. May my mouth be your mouthpiece this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, for this morning, I guess I'm a little bit like John here looking at words. If you know me, that's often what I think about. And I'm going to say a word, and I want you to respond and say, tell me what you think of when you hear the word, and that is modesty. What do you think of? What's the first thing we say?
Clothing.
Exactly. I'd like to take it a little further than that this morning. Modesty of heart. And it has an expression in our lives, but modesty of heart. Dictionary definition is unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities or achievements. Somebody has a modest opinion of themselves. You ever heard that? But it's moderate in the estimation of one's abilities or achievements. So, in other words, humility. An humble person is a modest one, that thinks modestly of himself. We could turn to Saul as an example. Let's do that. It's interesting to see that. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Just to see the contrast of how he was thinking at one point and how that it changed. Okay, let's, bit of the background, chapter 9, 1 Samuel, first several verses. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zior, the son of Bechorath, the son of Apiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So this is, Saul is a looked up to person, maybe in more ways than one. He was tall. He was goodly. But what was his estimation of himself? Let's turn over to verse 21. And Saul answered, they were looking for him. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? I am the smallest. I am of the least tribe, and I'm not my estimation of myself is not that big. And I think he was hiding. I just pulled out that verse here. But now, what happened to Saul? Turn over to chapter 15. All familiar, but it's good to look at it. Chapter 15 and verse 17. We know the story, how that Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, destroy everything. And when Samuel came, he heard the bleating of the sheep and the oxen and all that. And Saul said in verse 15, they have brought from them, from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, catch that, when I was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? So you see the contrast. He was little in his own eyes, but something changed. His estimation was not moderate, not modest anymore. Next definition. Relatively moderate. The word moderate is very close to the word modest. Something that is not unbalanced one way or the other. Relatively moderate, limited, small. What about a residence or houses? Not excessively large, elaborate, or expensive is a modest house. And then the third definition, dressing or behaving so as to avoid impropriety or indecency. Not attracting the opposite gender. So modest is dressing in such a way that we're not causing other people to stumble. Maybe we should think about what is immodesty, causing somebody to stumble. But I'm thinking of modest in the aspect of being moderate. What is immodesty? Immodesty is something that sticks out like a sore thumb. You ever heard that expression? That is being immodest. Something that grabs your attention. So are we dressing to grab attention? Or are we dressing to conceal rather than reveal? My wife talked about they're on their way to go to church, going through Lebanon. Maybe it is this way yet today. But there is a certain house that had its foundation painted bright yellow. I mean, driving down the street, But this one just, it stuck out like, and in front of it sat a bright yellow car. Somebody liked yellow. But modest. That's immodest. You get a picture, something that's out there grabbing attention. Biblical modesty is an inner quality of humility and purity. Now, I'll read down through there, but we go back over and look at these and break it up a little bit. Biblical modesty is an inner quality of humility and purity, expressed outwardly through behavior, language, dress, and grooming, with the goal of glorifying God rather than drawing undue attention to oneself. Our inward focus is reflected in our choices that consider the impact on others and avoid being a stumbling block. Biblical modesty is an inner quality of humility and purity. Something in the inside that radiates out. And that being humility and purity. That is expressed outwardly through our behavior, our language, our dress, the way we do our hair. The goal is to glorify God rather than drawing attention to ourselves. We don't dress and comb our hair in a way that one brings glory to us, but we want God to be glorified rather than us. And then our focus, our inward focus, is reflected in our choices. It shows on the outside. And we're considering the impact on others and avoid being a stumbling block. Now, let's turn to, first of all, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. We'll go to looking at some Greek words here. And the other passage is 1 Peter. There's two passages here that talk about dress and being modestly appareled. And when it's, okay, modest, the word modest is used in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. To adorn is the reason I'm looking at this one. And I guess I'll ask the question too. Anybody know what the root word is for, or the Greek word for adorning, or a form of it for modesty? Anybody? Nobody have it at the tip of their tongue. Cosmos. Now, how many recognize the word cosmos? What is cosmos? Universe. Something beautiful. Something very orderly. This is what we're talking about. Modesty is cosmos. Now, we have in that word cosmos, we have adjective, noun, and verb. Just a little bit different spelling and different meanings here. But In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel, that's an adjective. It's the only time it's used, this word, translated modest. Now we're in Timothy. Let's flip over to chapter 3 and verse 2. There's one other time this word is used, kosmios. And that is in verse 2. The bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. The word of good behavior is the same word. Good behavior is modest. And that is, I think you're getting the picture of what that behavior should be. Modest. Modest apparel and good behavior are the same word, and that's an adjective. Now, cosmos, an apt and harmonious arrangement or order. That's the definition of the word cosmos, and the adorning is in 1 Peter 3, verse 3. It would be good to have both passages, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 3. We're going to be flipping back and forth some. 1 Peter 3, 3. Who's adorning that apt and harmonious arrangement? Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair, and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. So, harmonious arrangement. That arrangement, I guess I'll say it here, it's not to be that the outward, but the inward. That is the important thing it's coming to here. Now, the word cosmos most often is world in the King James. All that is in the world, that is cosmos. Now, we'll go on to the verb form, which is an active word, to adorn. We're here in chapter 3 and verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So there we have the word adorn. To put in order, to decorate. Cosmos is a well-ordered whole, the universe, the world, creation. What's the opposite of cosmos? Opposite of cosmos, something beautiful, something that is, what's the word I was thinking of here? Chaos. The opposite of cosmos is chaos. God took something that was chaos and made something beautiful out of it, and that is the creation, universe. Think of how beautiful it is. So we have in verse 3, they adorned themselves. Flip back to chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 9. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So it is something that's to be beautiful. I guess the point I'll make it right here, I think there is extremes. And somewhere in the middle is modesty. You have an extreme of sloppy or fancy. I don't know if that's right terminology, but you get the picture. in the middle somewhere is a place for us to walk. Something that's beautiful, not pulling attention to ourselves. Our beauty should be within. 1 Peter, let's turn to that passage again. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Let's think about our hearts being adorned properly. There's a number, quite a few references here. I think most of them are familiar, and we'll turn to some here and there. But Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the heart is important. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 5. Once again, very familiar, but let's think about our attitudes. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Having a pure heart is one, a modest heart will be a pure heart. And think about these Beatitudes. You go right down through, most of them would fit into having a right heart, and with the right adornment. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A heart that is adorned. What about our attitude, which is very similar? Should be one of humility and submission. Where does God dwell? God dwells in a contrite heart. 1 Peter 5:5, be subject one to another and be humble. Philippians 2, I think I'm going to turn to that one. Our attitudes towards about ourselves. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. Modesty of the heart. Esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So it's an outward focus rather than an inward focus. How we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives. There's a verse, and here's one, another one I would like to turn to. Isaiah 3. It's amazing, but even how we walk. You know what it's like? Just to bring a picture in your mind, how does a cowboy walk? He's got a walk that's, you say, that's a cowboy. What do people say when they see us? Is a question. Isaiah 3, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet, the Lord will smite with the scab of the crown with the head of the daughters of Zion. He will punish them for that. So how we walk, even, I guess it's an identity, huh? Is that, would that be saying it right? Philippians, Colossians 3. That's another one to turn to. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Not sure where I should stop here, but I believe we'll stop there. Next two verses. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I think that puts the capstone on it. Whatever we do, can we say, I'm doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's what a modest heart, his posture is. Titus 2 uses the terms, in behavior as becometh holiness. Does what we do fit with the term holy? What about speech? What are we talking about? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's coming out of our mouths? Our lives. All these things is part of the modest lifestyle, modest heart. A soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs. Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I'm close here. I'm going to just turn to that. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. No corrupt communication. Are we caught up with any cool language? Slang? I don't think it fits. Not fitting. There's another one. That our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. A little bit of salt on our words. Something that enhances the flavor. That's one thing, one purpose of salt. There's others that would fit there as well. What about our possessions? And once again, let's flip to 1 John. 1 John 2, Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So where do we want to be? We want to be doing God's will, not chasing after things of the world. That should not be getting in our way of our connection with God. I guess thinking about our possessions and our properties and such like, a number of you men were in Allen County, a very well-to-do community, and I just say, is this drawing attention to God, or is it drawing attention to the people that are, I mean, something that a man has created or made beautiful? I guess I look at it and say, I think it's a little past modest. You know what I'm talking about, John? So not all of you have been there, but it's very, very plush. Every square inch is green. It's mowed. It's buildings. It's houses. So is that where we want to be? Is that what we want? People looking on our properties, are they saying modest? Are they saying extravagant? And I guess at this time, or is it sloppy? Modest is moderate in the middle. So may God give us wisdom to know where that balance is. And then we went full circle. Now we're back to what is our clothing? What is our dress? It's part of living a modest life, having a modest heart. Its expression will be. Part of that expression is our dress. Proverbs says, beauty is vain, but the fear of the Lord will be praised. Once again, extremes. We can say it about dress. And I guess another thing I was pondering, and may the Lord give us wisdom to know how to find that place. It's cosmos is something that's beautiful. Now, it does say that we're not to put on these things. Not with broided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but it's the inner man. That's what we are to make beautiful. But cosmos is something that's beautiful. We don't want to throw aside beauty, but it's the inner beauty that is what God wants. What's the purpose of our dress? We say we want to conceal rather than reveal. Where do we want the attention? Do we want the attention or not? Or are we going to have God getting the attention? Modesty. Modesty of what? Color? The bright yellow car and the foundation of that house. That was immodest. That was off the wall. Color. What about the pattern that we use? So the question is, why the extras? My father would say, is it for show or just for so? Why did you have to do that? That was something that stuck with me. Now, let's notice adorning. Let's look at the two passages again. Get your finger in both places, 1 Timothy and 1 Peter, chapter 3. And I'd like to notice we have Peter and we have Paul. And I'd like to see how much they were on the same page. I don't know who wrote first or one was following the other. I didn't study into that. But notice how much they are alike. We are not to you the hair is talked about. Timothy 2:9. Not with broided hair. Peter. Now where is it? Which verse? Verse 3. Plaiting the hair. With the same thing. Next is wearing of gold. And Timothy says gold. Gold or pearls or costly array. The next, okay, the gold and then the costly array, putting on of apparel, is in Peter to match the costly array. What else does it say over here? Costly array. Okay, but then we switch to the positive. But with Timothy says, what are we adorned with? Shamefacedness and sobriety. And Peter, but let it be that hidden man of the heart with meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. See how many ways you can tie the two together. Now, one thing I didn't do earlier is let's turn to Peter. I'd like to lift up what he is saying here. Do a little Bible study, I guess. Likewise, chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, like what is the question? How, what's he comparing to? And I said, well, we got to go back. Okay, likewise, be in subjection. So that maybe that's a clue. Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So we have submission to authority. Drop down to verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Be subject. Likewise, ye wives, in verse 1 of chapter 3, be in subjection. And once again in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. See how that, he's going through a series here. And he's, it's all having to do with being in subjection, subjection to authority. And husbands, it's interesting. Okay, we are above our wives in order of authority. But we dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to them. So They're to be in subjection. We give them honor. Dwell with them according to knowledge. So, likewise, the thing of subjection, I see that as a big element in having a modest heart. A modest heart, subjection, pretty closely related. Just allow your minds to run a little bit. I didn't think through how to say this, but you know what it's like to observe a woman that's out of her place, that is just bullying her way. And you say, wait a minute, this is not right. Wives, be in subjection. Modest. So that's off, not moderate. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, meek and quiet spirit, instead of one that is bold and loud. And our dress can fit into that same bold, loud, or in subjection. So, I just was pondering a little bit too. How do I know if I'm modestly dressed? Question to ask. And my first thought was step in front of the mirror. See what the mirror tells you. And then for a young person, ask your parents, am I modestly dressed or not? Micah 6:8 is what I'd like to conclude with. I don't trust my Amos. Don't trust my memory on this one. Micah 6, verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? And verse 8, he has shewed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? A modest heart. I think that's the picture right there. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. May the Lord bless you as you seek to walk that way.